We've made this a World Mission Sunday, ostensibly because I'm going on our behalf tomorrow to South India for 2 weeks as part of the building the partnership that we've had now with some Christian leaders in South India for about 10 years. Going to Madras or Chennai, as most people call it now, is a bit like Paul turning up in Athens, as we heard in that reading. It's a very different religious situation to the one we experience here in Poynton. And there are all sorts of temples, all sorts of statues, all sorts of worship going on. It's quite confusing and also quite disturbing, some of it. South India is a place where Hinduism is very strong indeed, and South India is also a place where Christianity has had a good foothold for, well, probably nearly 2,000 years. It's thought to be the place where Thomas the disciple, Thomas the apostle, you know, Doubting Thomas, as he's sometimes called, ended up when the different apostles scattered in different directions and took the good news of Jesus in different directions in the first generation of the church. There is a little hill in Madras called St. Thomas's Mount. And for the Christians, that's a really important place. There is a home group study sheet that I've done for those home groups who are well up with the studies, and also for anyone else who'd like to pray, because in it, it tells a bit more about the journey, if you'd like to pray with and for me and Peter, who's coming with me the first week, and for the other Christians out there who we're seeking to build partnership with. At St. George's, we are pleased to have two World Mission Partnerships which are direct partnerships. And there are lots of churches who are linked with mission partners through agencies, mission agencies, and we are too. Agencies like SAMS and CMS and Crosslinks and OMF do a good job linking churches with work that's going on elsewhere. But in the last 10 years, we've also worked on direct partnerships, particularly with Christians and churches in Northwest Argentina and also in South India, Tamil Nadu, the Tamil people, down in the bottom right-hand corner of India. Now, direct is better in some ways, we found. For information, now with emails and Facebook, you can communicate directly and instantly with fellow Christians on the other side of the world. And what you find out in those emails isn't filtered by a mission agency or anything. You do hear what's going on by what they tell you, which is helpful for prayer and for understanding. Most of the time for understanding. Thankfully, in South India, their English is pretty good as well. Another advantage is giving goes completely to the target you want it to go to. There's no expensive middle person or admin cut for an organization. The giving goes straight there. It's something that we found particularly helpful when the part of India that I'm going to was traumatized, and lots of people lost their lives and their livelihoods when the tsunami came onto the coast of India, just around there, among many other places in Southeast Asia. And we were able to get money to our friends in South India, and they were able to take basic packs to the villages just on the coast near them straight away the next day. And it really did help quickly in a situation where agencies took a while to get their act together. And I think the other thing is you do feel more connected, don't you? Because there's a personal aspect to the partnership, and you get to know certain people better in the locality where you're in partnership with. So that's part of the purpose of my visit tomorrow for 2 weeks. I'm flying to South India tomorrow lunchtime, arriving in Chennai breakfast time on Tuesday. The rest of Tuesday and Wednesday will be time for Peter and I, Peter, the vicar in Barnston and Pensby on the Wirral, to prepare for the conference. Thursday, Friday and Saturday is the preaching conference. About 80 pastors, independent pastors, are coming to that. So they're pastors it's a bit difficult in India because in quite a lot of places the church has splintered. Don't know what it is about Indians, and maybe they've taken some of the worst bits of our example in this in previous centuries. But if something doesn't go well in a church, it seems that too often a bunch of leaders in that church will say, well, we can't continue with this. We're going to go off and set up our own church. And so you've got all these independent churches who lack a bit of general direction and help. And they're particularly prone to wrong teaching emphases. And what happened... it's probably worth saying now, telling the story of how it started. Some of these independent pastors has had a meeting because there was one of these high-profile American preachers who'd gone there and done a big high-profile conference. And the theme of the conference had been what's called wealth and prosperity teaching, health and wealth gospel. I don't know if you've heard about that sort of emphasis. And at its worst, the idea is that if you have faith, then you will be completely healthy. And if you only have faith, then just pray and the Lord will give you money and you'll be wealthy. And this message was particularly disturbing for lots of the congregations of these independent pastors, which lots of them are in the slums of Madras. And there was a lot of disturbance and a lot of confusion in their congregations. They got together and thought, what on earth can we do about this? Because the Americans, you know, our people really take notice of the Americans. You know, because it's American programs they're watching all the time. If they can see a television, they won't take any notice of us when we try and put them right. What shall we do? So they had a chat and a pray, and they said, I know what we'll do. Let's invite someone British. Because... if they won't listen to us, they might listen to someone British who can put us right with some of the stuff that the Americans have been saying that's unhelpful. So that's what they decided. And then it was not long after that that Pastor Stephen, who's pastor of a little church in a little village, and who came into the city 2 hours on his little scooter about once a fortnight to beg and borrow things for his church and his village from the city. And also, he hired half an hour in an internet... Well, I was going to call it an internet cafe, but really it's an internet cellar. And people packed in there. It's so sweaty. Students trying to do a bit of internet stuff and other people trying to do a bit of internet stuff. Half an hour on there. He came in, he was shown to the station that he could use. And on the screen, the previous user had left the website of my friend Mark's church. So Stephen looked at this and he said, oh, you know, Bible, you know, Bible teaching. Britain, this is what we need. So he left a message on the website saying, please will you come and help us with our Bible teaching? And Mark responded to that and then sought the help of one or two other churches. And we've done a project, really. For 4 years, we did one every year, conference every year. Then for another 6 years, we did one every 2 years. And now we're phasing ourselves out because it's no good sort of doing, these things are good for a season, aren't they? And so I think it was 5 years ago that I was last there, and we'll do a conference on the Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and we try and model expository preaching. And if you're not clear what that is, it's when you go through the Bible bit by bit. It's really our bread and butter here. We know that if you start at the beginning of a Bible book and go through it in order, bit by bit, you understand an awful lot more, and you train yourself in knowing how to read the Bible for yourself. And you understand this bit in the light of what went before it and right of what goes next, and in the light of the whole Bible, the whole Bible's message. Reading the Bible in context, that's expository preaching. In India, especially in the independent churches in India, they're not very good at that. They just see a verse and they say, oh, that's a good verse. Now, what shall I make it mean? And I'm sure they don't quite think like that, but that's what it ends up coming over like. And I have heard one or two pretty strange sermons when I've been out there that's given me continued vision for trying to encourage them and help them with what God's given us, which is a gift of expository preaching. It is one of the things we can offer in the world scene. So that's what we do. I'm preaching through the book of Ecclesiastes from beginning to end. It will take about 8 hours, but that's the time they give you. So over 3 days, it will be fine. And Peter's going through Titus, you know, the letter of Paul to Titus, which is called one of the pastoral epistles because it's Paul helping his fellow pastor. So it's a particularly good book in the New Testament to be preaching to a bunch of pastors to seek to help them. On the Sunday, I'm going to Pastor Stephen's little village and his little church. The village is called Mookerham Backham, and it's at the back of beyond. It's near the border of another state called Andhra Pradesh. And I think it's through Andhra Pradesh that Sean did his cycling coast to coast. So it's in that direction, a bit north from Chennai. Then on the Sunday, if you're good at maps, there is a map on the back of this little sheet I've done. On the Sunday, we're going 2 hours south of Madras to Mary's School. Mary's School is the school that we've been connected with for about 10 years. I'll tell you the story in a minute. It's time to look at some pictures. Someone do us some pictures, please. Will it take a while? Shall I carry on? Say again. Can't hear, sorry. About a minute. Okay. 9 years ago, we discovered that Mary's school was in danger of being closed. Mary is actually the sister of Pastor Stephen. Some people in the 930 congregation call her Sister Mary and think she's a nun, I think. But she's not. She's the sister of Pastor Stephen. And she's the person who, very bright person, grew up in a poor situation. She was a Christian, and through church she got the idea of education and was sent to school where they discovered she was very good, and with the help of certain grants that were available, she ended up going to university. And she ended up doing a PhD in Indian tribal customs. And as part of her PhD, she had to go and live amongst a more backward, as they say, community for about 6 months. And so she was sent to this village called Kuri Pantandalam, 2 hours south of Madras. And she did her research into the customs, and she fell in love with the people. And she decided to train as a head teacher and go back and start a school. So that's what she did. She started with 13 pupils in a mud hut with the help of an American woman who felt the Lord had called her to go out there and help with something. That's what she ended up helping with. And then over about 5 or 6 years, she'd built the school up. An American church had built a schoolroom on some land that had been loaned to them by a charity called Care India. And the school was about 50 or 60 pupils and going well. Private school. State funding isn't given to Christian schools in India. So it was very low budget, funded with a bit of help from the church and those parents that could stump up something. And it was at that stage that Care India said, we're going to sell it. And that would have meant the land was gone, the schoolroom was gone, and indeed Mary lived in a little room on the end of the schoolroom, so her home would have been gone as well. We were able, thank the Lord, to raise £12,000, and we bought it on their behalf. Mary's brother-in-law is a good lawyer. They set up a trust, so it's run in trust now, the school, and is going well. 150 pupils at the moment, I think. And others have contributed to build more buildings on the site, and now it's a very well-appointed school, as hopefully we'll see in a minute with some pictures. Shall I carry on for a bit longer? Oh, right. Let's start here. This is fine. This is the pastor's conference last time we went, and you can see it's called Kingdom Builders, and there's the band over the other side, and keep going, please. There's the band. Can you see that little guy on the floor? He's a blind person who's really good on the Indian drums, the tabla, I think they're called. And he's actually become the pastor of a blind congregation now, because a lot of people in India are blind. More of the band. Oh, yeah, here we are. So this is the person I went with, Dave. He's now a vicar in Finchley, and there's somebody next to him who's able to translate. So we preach in English, somebody translates into Tamil. That gives you long enough to think of your next sentence. There's Dave. Who have we got next? Is it frozen? Oh. There we are. And there's what we're looking out at, about 80 pastors, men and women who are church leaders from independent churches, and some they're seeking to train in as young preachers and leaders in that area. Here's a drama group that on the last day did a bit of a drama and offered it to the local churches in Madras, saying, you know, our church has done this drama, but it might be useful for you. We'll bring it if you want it. That's Jesus on the cross. Oh, that's when they were giving out one or two little presents at the end. They gave me a tablecloth and told me to wear it. You've got to go with it, really, on these occasions. Oh, there's how you get around Madras, or how we get around Madras in one of those little yellow ones. That was obviously driven by a Christian because he had Praise the Lord across the back of his little vehicle. And now we're at Mary's school. So we've gone from the big city, Madras, Chennai, down 2 hours south to Mary's school and the village there. This is Sunday. You can see it's communion because there's that the tray of wine on the right-hand side, on the table. And Mary's leading part of the service there. And there's a sort of choir of boys in the background who lead the singing. There they are again. There's a drummer. And it's a very traditional village. And so in such a village, the women sit on one side of the church and the men sit on the other side of the church. That's how they do all things in all their gatherings. And there we are. Oh, this is the hymn in which everyone brought their giving. So what happens is they put out a box at the front. Can you see it there? And people come up one by one and give their gifts. It's a poor village, but it's not as poor as it was when we first went there 15 years ago. When I remember somebody brought out a chicken at this point in the service. But now they just put low denomination notes in there. I don't know what I'm saying to this chap. Maybe he asked for a copy of my sermon or something. I'm dreamy again, you've got to, haven't you? Praying with people after the service, then going outside and meeting some more of the people. The church meets in a chapel that's been built on the school site. We'll see a bit more of the school site now. Oh, no, we won't. We'll see an old Hindu temple that was built about 1,000 years ago and is in a town that's quite close. It's only 10 miles away from the school. Now we're back at the school, and there's Andrew I went with last time, and that was the Rangoli, the welcome thing they did with the little stuff. Kids do this at school, don't they, as part of learning about Indian culture. And you used to get amazing sort of traditional rangolis. But like lots of things in India, it's become more westernized. And so now they've got this quite western-looking rangoli that they think is really trendy. And so you haven't got to look disappointed, but immensely pleased, because it's great that they welcome you in such a way. This is one of the groups in the school. This is on a school day now, not on the Sunday. So this is the school in action. And some of the girls singing a song, I think. That's one of the boys looking bored. Somebody else looking a bit amazed. And there's the school in the hall for the assembly where they welcome us. There's another little girl looking sweet. These are the children of the school, Mary's school. Here's some boys doing a dance. One of the ways in which Mary's been able to attract more and more children to the school is because she understands their tribal customs. So she's reintroducing some of the traditional dances that she learnt doing her PhD to the culture, which is becoming too westernized in some of their minds. And there we are speaking at the church as well, the church that meets in the school. Actually, no, that's the school assembly, and me being translated. And you can see that's a classroom. That's a classroom now. They've built more classrooms in the last 10 years. And really, the school's quite well appointed now. Although, you know, quite well appointed for an Indian village, because they haven't got any chairs or tables in that one. But they have got a blackboard. I had a go on it. I think I spelled my name right. And then the playground outside at playtime, just meeting some of the children. And that's Mary on the left-hand side. She's not a nun. She's a head teacher who's set up the school and continues to run it. It's not easy running out a school out there, because you don't get any government support. In fact, it's the other way around. You have to pay £1,000 a year to have a license to run a school. And that's what she manages to do. And there we are out in the yard. Oh, yeah. Hi. Well, there's Andrew. Good. That's probably about as far as we've got, isn't it? Leave it there for a moment. Because I want to say that Mary's school is now well appointed. It's got all the buildings it needs to be a good school. And we're wondering in our church whether it might be time to look for a new focus in our partnership out there in South India. We can still send occasional gifts from those in the congregations here who want to support and who wish to continue that side of the partnership. But we're feeling the main focus of our PCC giving ought to go to a more needy situation, because there are certainly lots of those. And we've heard about a situation inland, about 20 hours on a train inland in the hills. And it's a difficult place to do Christian mission. But our experience now of partnership out in South India leads us to think that we could reach out into the interior. So that's what we're going to try and do. So my first week, I've said what I'm doing then. In the second week, I'm a bit more fuzzy about what I'll be doing. But the plan is to go inland, 20 hours on the train, and then there's something called the Nilgiri Blue Mountain Railway, which is one of the great railway journeys of the world. They've done, the BBC or someone like that, have done some good programs on the mountain railways, and that will be a treat for a morning, going up the side of the mountain through the tea plantations and everything, to a place called Ooty, which is where they invented billiards in the Empire days. They had too much time on their hands, and that's how they did it. In Ooty, I'll stay there, have a look, and then take a bus to Mysore, which is most of a day on a bus through the mountains. And that's the area where this Christian work has been going on that I wonder whether we could have a partnership with, and then get the train for 20 hours back from Mysore. That's the plan. Somebody else says they've booked some tickets and they're going to take me, and so I hope it works out in the second week. Please pray, and pray that we can encourage one another, our fellow Christians, brothers and sisters, in the gospel out there in South India. Pray that we can discover more of their progress and their difficulties that will help our prayers going forward to be more informed and more faithful.
Okay, let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for the great opportunities for mission that we have in this church. And we just pray for Rob as he heads out to India. We just pray for the pastors' conference, that would be good, that would really enable those pastors to teach more effectively from your word. And Father, we also pray as he heads up country for safety, as he looks at new opportunities for ministry and mission and supporting that region. We also pray for and thank you for Mary, for all that we've been able to support her to do. Just ask that that work might continue, that you continue to bless that. Please put your arms around Rob and Peter and guard and guide them on the journeys. Keep them in good health with the food and all the other things, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.